walks in the morning time. I gotta wait all day until I get mine. So every morning I'm there waiting by the fence. I wish it I could see her, but at least I catch her scent. I'm barking real sexy and she's barking real sweet. Oh, how I wish I could meet the dog across the street. Every night I walk my own around the corner to a place. I'm dreaming of the lucky night I meet her face to face. But every night she barks to say that she's inside and can't get out. She barks and cries until the neighbors start to shout. So I bark to say goodbye and then I leave my calling card. High up on the fence post on the edge of her backyard. And I leave a special present just to make my walk complete. Tomorrow its odor will greet the dog across the street. Oh, that poop's gonna impress her. I know it's love, even though I've never met her. I'm dreaming of a big red Irish setter. But she could be a pug with a funny looking shoved in mud. Doesn't matter how she looks, you see. Cause it's my nose that knows that she's a dog for me. I'm in love with the dog across the street. Yeah. Well, suddenly my dreams came true without a word of warning. My owner lost his job, he took me walking in the morning. Coming around the corner, biggest dog I've ever seen. Could have been a pit up in Playdog magazine. Well, she hit me like a Chevy, I was pinned, I couldn't budge. It's what I dig about a St. Bernard, there's so much dog to love. She covered me in kisses from my head up to my feet. There ain't a dog who can't beat my dog across the street. Oh, she's my puppy. I call her my puppy love. But she's a full-grown dog, and she's got pedigree, and she's in love with me. Wow, 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 she's a blue ribbon dog. She's got doggy style.
All right. That was Dog Across the Street by Kirk Olson, a singer-songwriter. Guitarist who's written and recorded an entire CD about dogs, entitled, appropriately enough, Dog Songs. Seems like a fitting opening to today's show, which is at least partially devoted to dogs and cats, as well as all kinds of animals. Indeed, welcome to another edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. We're streaming live on the internet, kuci.org, or we hope we are. There's going to be a little technical snag earlier this morning. We hope that's corrected, but I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all things animal. Primarily, we strive to learn about animals from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources, but we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. This is just the third installment of Talking Animals, and we've already been extremely fortunate to have terrific guests, starting with Ralph Helfer, a legendary figure in the animal world and pioneer in the area of affection training. Last week, we had a fantastic veterinarian, Dr. Mary Sebsta, who addressed the controversial new article in Consumer Reports on vet practices and prices, and provided a host of wonderful suggestions for those of us who live with animals. And this week is no exception. We'll be joined in a few minutes by Deanna Foth-Martin, who founded and runs not one, but two wonderful organizations. It might even be three since I spoke to her over the weekend. Anyway. Who knows? They collectively rescue cat and dogs who have been abandoned or otherwise facing a potentially dark fate, and function as sort of a foster care adoption agency, finding temporary and permanent homes for an enormous number of animals, and helps cover the animals' costs in the process, including food, vet bills, and other such expenses. So we'll look forward to speaking with Deanna Fluff Martin in just a few minutes and finding out more then. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and want to remind you first that all the opinions, views, and other info expressed by all those on the show, myself, guests, callers, whatever, are not necessarily the views of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. But having said that, I want to remind you the phone number to join us on the show at any point with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news, but anything else you'd like to really discuss or ask about. It's area code 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news, and typically these are local, regional, national, or sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck, to get your comments on and discuss. So and if there are ever any stories that you'd like to bring to our attention, of course, you can call them in. But also, please feel free to email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And I would also love to encourage you to email us at that same address with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, questions you'd like us to answer or get answered by a vet or other animal expert, and anything else really animal-related that's on your mind. So that email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And we're working on, over time, there will indeed be a Talking Animals website with all kinds of wonderful and informative features and links and resources and stuff. So meanwhile, though, let's talk turkey, as it were. Here are some of the animal stories that have been in the news lately and I hope we can talk about. For one thing, this isn't really a story so much as it's a dwindling story, which is that the monkeypox problem seems to be at least waning, if not all, but sort of contained and sort of being neutralized. So that's good news. But on a more dramatic note, locally, last week's LA Times front page story about the first bald eagles that believed to be born wild in Southern California since the 1930s have been found in the middle of a shooting range, of all places, near a popular Riverside County RV park. But the discovery of two eaglets is sort of raising cautious hope, they say, among biologists who have been seen nesting fail across the region because of lingering DDT pollution and encroaching development. So really excited about that. The story goes on to sort of explain sort of what would have been the sort of natural and not so natural things thwarting eagles being born here. So if you have any thoughts on, should we go to greater lengths to protect the fledglings that have been born? Is there anything else we can do to encourage more bald eagles to be born in that area? What should we do? How should we do it? So again, 949-824-5824 for those thoughts and comments. Also on a sort of, both serious and whimsical note, in the New York Times yesterday, there was a little tiny piece headlined, Animals Seeking Happiness. And it starts off, can a white leghorn hen be truly happy? That's one question researchers are asking in the emerging academic field called animal well-being. And apparently these researchers videotape chickens at play or rig doors so pigs can use their snouts to choose between eating their food alone or hanging out with other swine. The scientists attend conferences to hear papers with titles like Hyperaggressiveness in Male Broiler Breeder Fowl. So basically, through behavioral research and animal biology, the experts try to find out, are cows ever happy? Do pigs feel pain? What do chickens really want? And it acknowledges they know they're feeling, they're asking touchy-feely questions of a system that profits from mass slaughter, but they consider themselves pioneers. And they quote one of the professors involved saying, asking scientific questions about an animal's feeling is brand new, he acknowledges. But sort of, I guess one of the many things I found odd about this little item is these studies are financed in part by restaurant chains like McDonald's and KFC. So anyways, any thoughts on the whole area of animal well-being, not to mention those being funded by fast food chains. Love to hear your thoughts. 949-824-5824. And lastly, and we'll also get Deanna's input on this when we speak to her shortly here, but obviously the end of the week, it's 4th of July, and always a tough, tricky time for animals, pets. So just wanted to remind you of a couple things, and saw a nice piece specifically aimed for dogs, but this obviously applies in many ways to cats as well. But really, just of course, the main thing is to really keep keep animals inside. You know, that day, certainly that night, but even that day, and even the day or so before, in some cases, just because there's, you know, people lighting off Piccolo Pete's early and those kinds of things. So, but it also points out that, you know, dogs' hearing and other senses really are just so much more acute than ours. So, you know, even a little, you know, what sounds like a little explosion a couple of streets over to us is, you know, really, really a loud, intense experience for dogs. And similarly with the smells of gunpowder and other things, and it can really trigger all kinds of sort of flight or fight responses. So just really urges you to keep your dog inside, keep an eye on them, and again, the risk, I guess, and then Deanna can probably speak to this as well, is that they will develop a noise phobia if they're not really properly protected in this way, and then you really can't get over that. So one thing, if the dogs really seem to have a tough time no matter what you're doing to protect them, they even say that giving them a bit of melatonin can help. Doesn't, you know, put them to sleep really like it does for humans, but it does really help sometimes with the kind of stress and various stimuli that happen on 4th of July. And again, in that case, as with any case, giving an animal any kind of medicine over the counter or otherwise, you want to consult your veterinarian for sure on the exact dosage and make sure that they think it's a good idea for your specific pet. So if you have any other tips or suggestions for keeping your pet calm, for keeping everybody, including your beloved animal, safe and sane on the 4th of July, happy to hear those as well. 949-824-5824. And we'll be moving right into our interview with Deanna Foth-Martin shortly, but we're going to step now into this week's Comedy Corner with sort of a classic piece by Bill Cosby. It's Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM. Here we go.
And you don't get up and...
All right, taking it from the top. Here we go.
People don't listen to their dogs. How many of you have dogs and you hear your dog bark and you don't get up and go out and say, what is it? What's bothering him? All you do is lay in the bed. Will you shut up all that noise? Now, you bought a dog to tell you when somebody's coming. And as soon as the dog says, you say, will you please shut up all that noise? Give me a shoe, I'll kill that dog. And then I'm going to kill him the first thing in the morning. Now, you stop that. Now shut up. Meanwhile, there's a guy downstairs stealing everything you got. That's why cooks don't care about dogs. They just say, look, go ahead. They're not going to pay any attention to the dog. Just go right on in. You watch horror pictures with the mummy. The mummy, I don't know who made these mummy movies, but you always see the mummy going right down the middle of the street, and nobody's out there or nothing. He's just going straight, and the dog is trying to tell everybody, hey, and the guy, I hear it. What is it? He's walking like this with the toilet paper hanging from him. And he's going to go out. Will you shut up that noise? Go. Anybody here own a St. Bernard? Do you really? He's not a watchdog, is he? Oh, you're silly for having a St. Bernard watchdog. St. Bernard's too big and fat. They can only bark once. Yeah, you've never heard your St. Bernard bark more than once. They can't go 3-4 times in a row. up and they have a heart attack. I mean, they'll frighten you just by the drool dripping from the mouth. That's the thing that frightens me. I hate to see a St. Bernard when he's drooling. I had a friend of mine drown one time. Bernard went up to him and the guy just quit. He started swimming and he just couldn't make it. But you only get one bark, and then they have to clear their eyes. Yeah. Now, them little dogs, I hate those little teeny ones. Anybody have one of those? Not the Pekingese. I mean, there's a little ghetto dog. About this big, and their eyes are big. Their eyes look like they have a gland problem. And they're bigger than the mice. Bigger than the mice, smaller than the breadbasket. And they never stop barking. You go to somebody's house, you could have been there 400 times. That dog will always act like you've never been there. And always eating the back of your shoe. The whole time you're walking around, yeah, George, it's nice to see you. Oh, I'm sick of them. And you say, shut up. And they just, I saw a fly knock one over one time. I was so happy I cheered for the fly. And the fly really got tired of the dog barking. Just went, hey. And that's all those dogs are good for, to point out where the flies are.
Hey. All right. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at www.kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was Bill Cosby with Dogs, which we took from his Best of Bill Cosby collection. And the Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals. Last week we played Woody Allen's classic bit, The Moose, while the week before it was a wonderful piece from Ellen DeGeneres called Cat in Heat. And if you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature in the Comedy Corner, please email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And again, at that same email address, we also welcome general comments about the show, topic and guest ideas, suggestions of animal songs, and you know, anything else, animal news stories, anything else you'd like to suggest. So again, it's the 88.9 FM KUCI. I want to also thank Serena Sharp for another fine edition of the Serena Sharp Show and kind of easing into Talking Animals, as always. Appreciate that. And now, really, I had mentioned earlier in the show a little bit about Deanna Martin and the work that she does to help countless cats and dogs in the area through the two organizations, at last count at least, that she founded and runs. But rather than summarize, I really look forward to having her describe those organizations and the work that she's done and is doing in the animal world. So let's welcome now Deanna Fuff Martin. Welcome to Talking Animals.
Thank you, Duncan.
So let's just start off a little bit just kind of with your background and history, where you grew up and did you have animals growing up, that kind of thing, and then we'll go from there.
Yes, actually I did. I grew up in Newport Beach.
A local gal.
Local girl with animals in her backyard.
Oh, great. What kind of animals did you have then?
I had horses, peacocks, banny hens.
Oh, wow. Just so even as a little girl, there was animals from the get-go, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to get up early to feed the horses.
How many horses are we talking about?
I had two and a pony.
Wow. Great. So that love was really established quite early then, the connection.
I actually wanted to be a veterinarian, but I don't like blood.
Oh, I see. Well, that would be a drawback. Yeah. So then growing up, then you obviously were involved with animals, and then did you kind of just stay as you grew into adulthood involved with animals and still, you know, have horses and other animals? Or?
Well, actually, Duncan, I gave up horses for boys.
Oh, well, often a transition that I believe was made, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, yes.
And then I got back into enjoying the animals and life-saving after a tragedy of losing two cats to coyotes in Newport Beach.
Ooh, yikes. Wow.
Very painful.
Absolutely, yeah. So then, I guess this might be sort of fast-forwarding a bit, but then how did you kind of wander into the world of, you know, looking after animals, rescuing them, and some of the things that you're doing now?
Well, my animal rescue experience first started with a cat that was very thin in Harborview Homes in Newport Beach, came to our yard, and of course we did everything wrong. I acted like my mother, don't touch it, it's diseased, and my son was, of course, giving it milk where you never give cats milk. We did everything wrong.
And, I see.
So my first rescue effort was this cat, Butterscotch, and we took the cat to the vet, and about $250 later, I considered it mine and put a collar on it and tag, and it came back with a note, do you want to adopt me? I thought, well, $200 and some, I thought I already did.
Yeah, right, yes.
It turns out the people had abandoned the animal and moved away, and the neighbor had told us that that people just left the cat, so... I called the people, and they sent me a $50 check, and that began my rescue efforts in writing about, you know, what could happen to animals that were abandoned. I started writing the Community Animal Report.
And what year was this? How long ago was this, Diana?
1996.
Okay, all right.
So I became a writer first, educating people, somewhat similar to you with your radio, on the predatory dangers that outdoor animals face, coyote, man. And the article started featuring just about Halloween, when we discovered other animal sacrifice issues and things like that going on in Orange County.
Is that fairly prevalent, or is that just sort of little pockets where that occurs? Or
that wouldn't be something that I should answer directly.
Okay.
The woman runs Tustin Residence Against Animal Killers, and she's very big here in Orange County.
Okay.
She trains the police, the animal control, how to know whether it's a coyote kill or a sacrifice.
Wow. All right. Well, yeah, it sounds like a field we will maybe have features a separate segment sometimes when talking about. All right, so back to your sort of evolution into...
Yes. So the animal report, the community animal report, started in a housing area of 1,100 homes. I was basically the safekeeper of the 1,100 homed animals. For instance, if a contractor, construction people left the gate open and someone's dog got out, someone else would bring it in, they would call me, and I'd say, you know, okay, I'll hold on, and the owner would call me and say, oh, someone on Port Bristol has your dog, here's the phone number. So we kind of took care of our own neighborhood pets.
Okay.
It was a neighborhood pet link, basically.
Oh, wow. So it's almost like an animal neighborhood watch.
Yes.
Sort of program in a sense, right?
Correct.
Yeah, neat. Okay.
Yeah, and it was publicized through the Buffalo Hills Echo, which was the community newsletter for the Homeowners Association. So that's how I started writing in a Homeowners Association booklet.
Sure.
And it's my opinion that that's why everyone was picking up these boring Homeowners Association newsletters.
Right, here's something that we want to read, actually, for a change, right?
Yeah, okay. We had an attack cat on Port Bristol one time that was beating up other cats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we had all kinds of interesting, just short stories with
sure.
titles. And it was very successful, and then it was so successful, then they wanted to charge me for the page, and I said, you know, I think I could have my own paper.
Right, so, yeah, they're looking at this in reverse almost, right? Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I started writing, and pretty soon this animal report grew from the local homes to I stood out in front of the post office and local markets giving out the animal report, and had little ads in the back for animals that needed new homes. They paid $35 for an ad. And we were doing 8,000 animal reports a month at that time. And it became overwhelmingly popular.
And, oh, wow.
So then now we have our first volunteer issue. I haven't had the report in 2 years. Just been too busy rescuing, placing about 600 animals per year.
Holy cow. Yeah. That's amazing. Now, on the off chance this might be somebody has a question for you, I'm going to see if we can... let's just see here. One sec. KUCI? Hello? Oh, all right. We lost them, but they'll be back, hopefully.
All right. So they call back.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So that's really how the organization began from writing the articles and stuff.
It began as writing in
right.
news press.
Sure. And is the newsletter itself still exists, or is that just part of, kind of folded in, so to speak, to the organization?
I would like to have it up and going. I would love help with the journalism background to write more.
Yeah.
I'm just so busy with the actual rescue Monday through Friday, and our adoptions are Fashion Island on Saturday and Sunday.
And is the publication freestanding, or is it, I mean, in other words, is there still an actual publication, or is it just that it's found on your website? Okay, great.
This is actually
oh.
it.
Good. All right.
Office Depot is one of our sponsors. They've been our sponsors since 1996. And the back sponsors, Russo's Pet Store and Fashion Island.
So where would someone, because what I'm holding in my hand for the listeners is it's a really nice, it's sort of, you know, visible pink publication of, what, like 8 pages, I'm guessing? Or
yeah,
or 12. Yeah. And so where would someone pick one of these up in the area?
Well, at this time, they're at Eagle Cleaners on Avocado Street.
Okay, in Corona del Mar. Okay.
And we're trying to get them in more businesses. The dilemma is I need someone to actually get them.
Distribute them. Yeah.
Yes, because I'm so busy.
Sure.
When I started, I just did it in my errands around the, you know, all, every business that I did business with, I had them.
Just drop them as you go.
And,
yeah.
And
well, this
so,
is great.
They're available for anyone to take. They could contact me on our business line at 949-759-3646, and I'd be happy to get someone started delivering them to local businesses.
Sure. No, this is great. I mean, it really seems like it's thorough with all kinds of info, I guess it has always had, about different animals and different ones that I guess you're trying to find homes for. And yeah, fantastic. So, okay, so the volunteer is called the volunteer issue?
Yes, this is the volunteer issue. I'm working on a pet parenting issue right now.
Oh, wow.
How to bring your new pet home and different tricks. One of the tricks we talk about is canned pumpkin. When people bring their new kitty cat or dog home, they often have an upset tummy. And canned pumpkin mixed in canned wet food is actually for constipation. And it works really good to eliminate hairballs and also coat the stomach from acids and things.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah. I wonder how someone even would have discovered that. I mean, that's such an odd thing to think of, hey, if I put that into a new...
I'm not sure, but veterinarians do know it's for constipation.
Yeah.
And, I've given that recipe out to many people that haven't had success with dogs, you know, even though they've been to the vet, been given an enema.
And
they say, well, try pumpkin, and they call it.
And that does the trick.
You saved me $140.
Oh, wow, that's so great. So, okay, so the publication sort of branched into...
Atopic issues.
Yeah.
Because they don't have time anymore to do the small... community
sure.
style.
Right.
So now it'll be topic issues, and they can be given out at all times.
And is this monthly, or how often? It sounds like it'd probably be too ambitious to do monthly, right?
I used to do monthly.
Yeah.
And everyone really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I took every call personally, but now we have 6 telephone lines and, you know, hundreds of animals. It's just very difficult.
Well, so let's talk a little bit more about that then. So how does the organization really operate? You know, sort of walk us through that a little bit.
Well, it's citizen-operated, which what that means is the reason that we have the most animals in the county of some local rescue organization is because we put to work the people, the callers. They haven't considered possibly themselves as a rescuer. What people don't know is there's not a lot of funding out there available for the rescue organizations. Most have very little money. Most money is going to education, things like that. So rescue suffers terribly. How we've gotten to be a success is we've actually engaged the caller in actual life saving. And we will give them whatever tools they need, food, supplies, veterinarian care, cages if needed, animal traps, whatever it is that it takes, because the rescuer is the one that's emotionally involved in the rescue.
Right, and they want to help. They just don't necessarily have the knowledge or the resources.
Yes.
So you're providing those so that it enables them to kind of move forward. Is that the idea?
And one of the misnomers people have is they say, well, I already have a pet, I can't help. Or I have a cat. They, you know, that's not necessarily true. Everyone involved in rescue, they're not going to do it unless they love animals, and most have too many pets.
Sure.
So if that doesn't come into the equation of life saving, we explain to them, and many times when they hear that, they hadn't considered, you know, that animals live in packs and colonies, and so.
Right. Well, and also too, I mean, one of the things I really thought was neat about your organization is that it, and this might be a little too glib, but it seems like it's sort of a among the elements, it's sort of a foster, you know, like equivalent to a foster home for a child, and then an adoption agency, sort of. So even if someone say, well, you know, I have too many pets, or, you know, like we don't have that many pets, but we have one who's very grouchy and has a heart murmur and other stuff. So I mean, we're reluctant, like we wanted to have a dog, for example, this is the cat I'm referring to. So we probably couldn't take a permanent, you know, additional animal at the time, especially because we just brought a feral cat, and that's a whole other story. But anyway, but what you're saying is that's, you know, that's not really the way to think about it, because even just on an interim basis, you could sort of look after this animal, and then your organization would help find a permanent home if you couldn't really do that. Yeah. And that's great, because it seems like what you're saying is like, look, we can help you find a home. We can help you with the vet bills or the food or some of the other stuff, you know, if you find this animal and are trying to help it. So there's really no reason then not to help. Right. Is that the idea? Yeah.
Yes. But many animals go to the shelter. And unfortunately, we need dog foster homes much more than cat foster homes. The public seems to be very resistant to helping dogs.
And why is that,
Deanna? Because of the behaviors. They're unknown behaviors. And so they risk, you know, biting or some accident with children. Mostly the families that are calling, they have children or someone that could be injured by an animal. So when we have moved animals into foster care, if there's a problem with, you know, damage of shoes or property, they eventually want to give up quickly.
Mm.
So therefore, it's more difficult for us to find foster homes for dogs with unknown temperaments. And then again, the other problem is once they go into the shelter system, the public is resistant to adopt dogs with unknown behavior problems. Or they adopt a dog and then they call us and say that it has this behavior problem. They want us to get involved.
Mm.
So it's really difficult. People really need to plan very carefully the kind of animal that they have. And we see a lot of problems with the dog owners. They believe they want to get a puppy because they want to raise it the way they want to raise
it.
But what they don't realize is that it costs time and money to raise an animal to be a healthy, psychologically well-behaved animal.
Sure.
And many people are working too much. And so what they get is a one-year-old, one-and-a-half-year-old dog that's not trained well, that possibly even wasn't socialized at an early age. Between the fifth and the sixth week, you could develop becoming a fear biter if they're not socialized well. So then in socialization, they nip at people, you know, and they risk their lives. So many of the animals that are at the shelter that are the young age where people are desiring, the dogs are 1 to 3 pretty much. They're calling up us. They want 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them, if you want a really good dog, go for a dog over 5. The reason is someone loved that dog.
Mm-hmm.
Someone possibly passed away. They kept it for 5 years. Their heart's probably broken.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the animals that are at the 1 to 3 range, especially 1, those often are the dogs that the public tried to get as a puppy and make them into this great dog that didn't put the time in.
Mm.
And ended up having them tied up in the backyard or outside, unsocialized.
Yeah.
Because a busy housewife, the husband got the dog typically, as we find, and leaves the wife with 3 children with the animal that doesn't have time.
Mm.
And so these are the animals we see with the biggest problems. And yet the older animals are being put to death over 5.
Wow.
And
so it's tricky then. I mean,
yes.
it sounds like it's so some of the thing was the reluctance to adopt dogs. It sounds like it's sort of a bias that people have. And then if I'm following you, some of what you're saying is that, you know, some of those dogs do, I mean, they're worried about the behaviors, but then some of them do develop behaviors.
Correct.
That do make it difficult to adopt and retain the dog.
It's because people are searching after puppies in youth.
Yeah.
And then you have these behaviors that are created by man oftentimes.
Sure.
Because of neglect.
Yeah.
And lack of finances to bring in a proper trainer.
Mm.
You know, really professional trainers are there for a reason and can help evaluate a dog. When we were rescuing more dogs, we're not as many now because we can't get the help. We had a veterinarian give for quite some time some boarding, and that really helped. But the vets are unwilling or incapable, I'm not quite sure, of lowering or giving us a good price. Because, you know, $10 and $12 a day, even though it's $15 and $16 off of a dog, it still adds up.
Yeah.
And there's not enough finances to cover the boarding for the rescued dogs. And then handlers at adoption, the dogs that we are having success placing, they're actually owners' dogs, and we call them pre-loved pets. And we tell the people, you know, you list your animal for $45 listing fee, we'll market and promote the animal, and you can show the animal at our public adoption events. And believe it or not, many of the owners are quite lazy. They say, well, can't we just bring the dog and give it to you? But, you know, there's other issues of liability. How does your dog behave?
Sure.
You know, and there's other dogs and people at Fashion Island. So we do ask that the owner handles the dog.
Yeah.
We have great success with any dog that comes through our system. We have 100% adoption rate, dogs and cats, whether they're 16-year-old, 13-year-old.
100%. Holy cow.
But it takes
amazing.
Time.
Yeah.
In December, we got a home for an 8-year-old Staffordshire Terrier, which is was a pit bull, with ground down teeth because it had been caged. And dog's name was Baby, really nice dog. We got that dog adopted through our internet site, animalnetwork.org. And then in January, we got a 13-and-a-half-year-old golden retriever named Cindy a home, which was wonderful.
And so these, like, dogs that might take a little longer to find a home, are they just in these other people's sort of temporary, like the foster home kind of analogy? So you guys don't have an actual facility. You have all the services you provide, the phone lines, the website, the newsletter, et cetera, but not, you couldn't go to and say, hey, there's a dog right now that we're trying to find a home for. It would be in someone else's private home.
Yes, it's someone's home.
Yeah, okay.
And we're starting a program. We already started advertising called Custom Kitties and Doggies to try to give more personal attention to people finding the pet that they really want, and opening up the foster homes to people seeing the animal in their home. We were so overwhelmed for a while, we just couldn't handle all the calls, and we're now going to fine-tune everything and allow the people to go to the homes so we can increase the adoptions, because the Fashion Island adoptions are so, so busy, elbow to elbow, and we're doing about 25 adoptions a weekend now.
That's great. And so is it possible, or is it just sort of too unwieldy to think about another, an additional location?
No, we're going to expand to Irvine Spectrum.
Okay.
In fact, we're going to be there this Saturday and Sunday inside Russo's Pet Store at the Irvine Spectrum.
Oh, great. So Russo's really has been kind of worked very closely with you on this.
Absolutely.
It sounds like, yeah.
It works out. As I tell people, it's a really good example of, you know, how in our country we have a lot of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to buy a $1,000 pet, you can go in and to Russo's and buy a $1,000 pet. If you want to buy a $175 kitten with the works and a 30-day health guarantee and return policy, you can get a rescue pet. Now, one of the reasons our organization is the highest in the county is we are pro-quality life.
I wanted to ask you about that, because I'm not sure a lot of people would understand the distinction. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what that term versus the other term might mean.
Yeah. Most people believe that pro-humane is pro-life. Pro-humane is to humanely euthanize, kill mercifully. All the shelters in Orange County are pro-humane. They would never spend what we did on one animal or what we do. About a month ago, we spent $955 on one kitten's eye, and it's great, $950 worth. It looks perfect. And, you know, we spent, the original cost was $2,500 on one kitten with a diaphragmatic hernia with its intestine.
That was the one that was featured last week in the...
Wow. All diaphragmatic hernias seem to be popular this year.
Okay, all right.
And the surgery, regular surgery on that would only be about $800 to $1,000 for a normal animal.
Hmm.
But when they are infants... the price goes up because you need a specialist. So we use veterinary surgical specialists in Orange County.
Wow.
So we use a lot of specialists with the eye surgeries. We use the eye clinic for animals. And these are surgeries that no other vet is capable of doing on such delicate, they're delicate procedures.
Sure.
And because we are in rescue, we do, and we're pro-quality life, we believe if, you know, we can tell the public this is what we need and they send the money to us, we'll do the surgery.
Wow.
So basically, all these vehicles, the website, the paper, the Daily Pilot newspaper in Newport Beach and Costa Mesa, they're one of our sponsors.
Sure.
They are all tools to help save lives.
Right. So they and the Daily Pilot each week kind of spotlights a different animal that
yes.
you're trying to specifically help or find a home for or get
yes.
Medical
Correct.
Services for.
Yes.
So it's all donation supported. Yeah.
Well, that's we.
Or and the sponsors as well, or how does that work?
Well, and
really?
Adoptions. You have
okay.
to remember there's a few different ways to receive the funds to caretake the animals. The donations are Community Animal Network, which is our nonprofit 501(c) tax exempt. Organization, and
mm-hmm.
that is the rescue side.
Okay.
So 100% of every dollar that's given to that goes only for the care and the vet medical needs of the animals, which is very nice. And I believe that that's the way it should be.
Sure.
However, most organizations don't have it set up with two. I have it set up with two. I have an operation side, which is the Animal Network of Orange County. And what that does is it covers the phones, the advertising, the cages, anything that's needed for the rescue side.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we can safeguard the donor's money. Don't get me wrong, the operation side has to put money over onto the other
sure.
side. Sure. Because enough is not given.
Right, I see.
So,
but at least the idea is if you keep them separate, they can serve each other, really.
Yes.
But still, it's kind of easier to monitor and control kind of what happens
That's
and,
what I
and
believe.
Benefit the animals.
I
yeah.
believe that if more people knew that this our organization was set up that way, they'd be more giving. Because I know nonprofits are under suspicion now for people not using the money wisely
mm-hmm.
for the cause.
Sure.
Ours 100% goes to the cause. And we work very hard for the adoptions. It's a lot of physical labor to get the adoptions set up.
Sure.
Massive amounts of paperwork and keeping track of, you know, the caregiver and the new owner, and they all have a 30-day health guarantee.
Wow.
And people really respect that, and they're willing to pay our high adoption fees. And many people, our type of client says, oh, gosh, that's so reasonable. I got a shelter animal for $75, and it cost me $400 the first week. We know, we consider each animal we rescue approximately $300 per animal in our cost is what we estimate.
Wow.
Because some could have ear mites, that's most common. Worms are typical, but when you deal in the ear mites and upper respiratory, you increase the cost of antibiotics and medicines needed. So therefore, when the people get the animal, everything's been taken care of. We have some kittens now that come from the shelter with ringworm. Now, mind you, we get the animals the same place everyone else would.
Sure.
So,
right. Up
so
against the same factors, right? Yeah. Because we maybe have a minute or two left, Deanna, but that brings me to, I think, sort of the age-old and always important issue of spay-neuter. I don't know if you want to just take some of our remaining time and just talk about,
yes.
obviously, the importance for you, but for anybody of, you know, getting the...
Well, what most people don't realize is that a kitten or a young puppy can impregnate and at an early age. Kitties, 4 months of age, male kitten can impregnate. Female kittens can become pregnant between the fifth and the sixth month.
Wow.
So many of our rescued cats off of death row are young, 10-month-old mothers. We do is we have a spay and return program where we'll spay the mama cat or dog or whatever for free and get good homes for all the little ones. We'll ask, are there any other unspayed or neutered animals in your home? And we get that list. Do you know any neighbors that have animals wandering that aren't spayed and neutered? We'll spay or neuter those too.
Wow.
The only thing we don't have in our mission statement is feral cats, which other organizations have mission statements to spay, neuter feral cats. But it's really a problem. I don't see the problem with dogs as much as feral cats, ruining neighborhoods. With spraying, fighting for mates, and property values go down in these areas because they're spraying,
mm-hmm.
and the fighting is loud, and,
sure.
and
people
things
get,
like that.
Yeah.
And they start poisoning then. So
wow.
spay-neutering is really the most humane thing anyone could do. And there are low-cost spay-neuter places, the Animal Medical Center in Fountain Valley. Neutering's only $15, and a spay
wow.
is $20.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Everyday
Can't
prices.
Beat that. Yeah. That's great. All right. Well, before we wrap up, any just last minute thing you might want to add to any concerns or tips for animals for 4th of July that's coming up at the end of the week, beyond just what we mentioned at the beginning of the show? Or?
I was told by Newport Beach Animal Control that for an animal that's really shy during the fireworks, mm-hmm. to use a bathroom. Because they have less windows exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Put the animal in the bathroom.
So they're more protected in the sound, yes. and other things are less
of an
issue.
Because they've been known to be just jump right through windows.
Wow, just because they get so panicked.
Yeah,
and,
so
yeah.
bathroom, I was told, was the safest.
Wow. All right. Well, this has been Deanna Pfaff-Martin from Animal Network and Community Animal Network.
Yes.
And the website is www.animalnetwork.org.
Correct.
And the phone number for the office there is area code 949-759-3646. And there's also a separate number, a sort of a 24-hour
yes.
line where you can find out adoption information
yes.
and requirements. And that's 949-644-2279. So get in touch with them, see how you can help, make a donation, help out with a pet, do whatever you can. It's obviously some really great organizations doing great work. So we want to thank Deanna Pfaff-Martin. And we'll maybe have you in again sometime down the road for an
thank
update
you.
On how things are going. And thanks so much for coming in. And right now, going to continue with a little sort of animal-related tune. This is Beck with Paper Tiger on KUCI 88.9 FM.
Just like a paper tiger, torn apart by idle hands. Through the helter-skelter morning, fix yourself while you still can. No more ashes to ashes, no more cinders from the sky.
All right, that's Beck on KUCI 88.9 FM. It's Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. Got a few minutes left. I'm going to jump right into our weekly, one of our many weekly features, Name That Animal Tune. And again, this is not unlike any other Name That Tune game you'd care to mention, except in this one, the tunes are always animal-related by virtue of at least just the title or reference to an animal or something. So we're going to jump right in and just play a brief snippet, and that's all it can be, not only because that's the way the game is played, but also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So without further ado, let's hear a bit of this. If you happen to recognize the song, there is a prize involved for the first caller who would call in to identify it. It's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. All right, let's give it a whirl, see if you can pick out this animal tune.
I'd like to be...
All right, that's all you get. Otherwise, we're going to give the title away. So that was this week's Name That Animal Tune. Again, call in, identify it, win a fabulous prize. In fact, we'll give you a choice of prize. It's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So in the absence of that, we're going to put in one of our other little animal tunes. But again... appreciate Deanna Foff Martin for coming in and sharing all her cool. Hold on one sec. KUCI.
Hi, yeah, I'm calling because I heard the song and I know the title.
Wow, all right, well, let's have it. Lay it on us if you can guess.
It was The Octopus's Garden by the Beatles.
Very cool. Well, that's absolutely right, and I'm very excited for you to call in and guess correctly on Name That Animal Tune. Let me reach for my little bag of prizes, and you can rattle them off, and you can see what you'd like to choose.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay, so among the things that we have are we have a big dog T-shirt. We have, I don't know, are you a cat owner by any chance?
I'm not a cat owner.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, because we have a Zoom.
The cat.
No, that's fine, because we have a Zoom groom, which is like a really cool little sort of brush-like object that cats go nuts when you kind of brush and groom them with that. So we also have another neat T-shirt from the Campaign Against Cruelty, the International Federation of Animal, I forget what the welfare, I think it is. We've got, are you a dog owner?
I am a dog owner.
Okay. Well, one thing we have is this kind of cool superfood supplement called Missing Link. It's a canine formula. It's a like sort of a neat dietary supplement for all breeds of dogs. So that's a possibility. Let's see. What else do I have in there? That's another cat thing. So we know we don't want to do that. Yeah, I think probably those are my main...
that first T-shirt that you mentioned sounds great.
Okay, the big dog T-shirt?
Yeah, cool. That sounds wonderful.
Okay, great. Well, let's get let us hear your name, because we're so excited.
my name is Sarah.
Sarah? Uh-huh. Okay, Sarah. And if you could just hold, I will come back shortly and... Well, I'll tell you what, if you want, I don't know if you're able to either now or later email talkinganimals@aol.com, but if you do, then I can get in touch with you and then send you your shirt or get you your shirt.
That sounds great. I'll be sure and email. It's talkinganimals@aol.com.
That's exactly right.
All right, I'll send
All right, well, thanks for calling
what
in.
What was your name again?
It's Duncan Strauss, and it's KUCI, of course. And the
All
show
right.
is called Talking Animals, and thanks for calling in and playing.
All right, thanks, Duncan.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
All right, well, there you go. So that's how Name That Animal Tune is played. You see? It's very cool. So, all right, well, I think we've just about reached the end of our this week's show. And I want to thank, again, Deanna Foff Martin. I want to thank Sarah, who called in and guessed correctly on Name That Animal Tune. And... I want to be sure to urge you to stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease coming up shortly on KCI 88.9 FM. And again, as I just mentioned to Sarah, we do have an email address. It's talkinganimals@AOL.com. And again, we'd love to hear from you with any comments on the show, suggestions for guests, suggestions for animal songs, suggestions for animal-oriented comedy bits, any other thoughts, questions you have, and love to hear from you there. So I'm going to, I think, wrap things up shortly with something from Coco Taylor. Of course, it's an animal tune, and also might lead nicely into Jeff Scott's blues show. So, again, it's Talking Animals. Be back next Monday at 9 o'clock. It's KUCI 88.9 FM. I want to remind you that all the views expressed by myself, by our guests, by the caller, anyone else, do not necessarily reflect those of KUCI, of UCI, or University of California Board of Regents. So, but we do appreciate you listening. I hope we come back next Monday on Talking Animals. Stay tuned once again for Jeff Scott on the Blues Disease, and we'll see you next time. This is Coco Taylor with Please Don't Dog Me on KCI in Irvine.